Good today. That's one of the topics somebody asked me about earlier on the year, so I figured I would take the opportunity to speak about it. That's my opportunity. I have to give you a call as well. But Rosh Halacha, the books of Kol Yisrael, there was a Gemara, there was a practice, there was a practice. So we have to get a little bit of an introduction. This really begins in Parshas Shmini. The Torah tells us that we're not allowed to eat from non-kosher animals, stay out of the nose, stay out of the chaz, stay out of the camel, just to get quick. You know that already. Coming from Gemara, it says, based on the Pasuk, that not only are you not allowed to eat a camel, but S are double. S comes, there's the word double twice, I'm sorry. The Torah comes to include that not only are you not allowed to eat the camel itself, you're not allowed to eat the milk that comes out of a camel. And the Gemara has a similar halacha, you're not allowed to eat eggs that come out of a non-kosher bird. And that basically makes up the din that appears in the Mishnah in the beginning of the Sefer Becherus. So the milk and the eggs that come out are considered to be asura min atera. The Rambam happens to have a unique sheet, and the Rambam holds that Dabra Yeltsin min asur is, although it's mitzvah deraisa, there's no malchus for it. The Rambam gives a mashal, the Rambam says like chatzi shir. It's not the real boss, it's not the real meat of the camel, it's not the real meat of the chazir. It's like a miktas chazir. Yaitzim in us, it's not the real Makoi, so it's a Nisid Deraisa without Malchus. And Taisa for Kuli disagrees. Taisa says, no, it's a real Nisid Deraisa with Malchus in the world. So that's a technical detail question. So the Lais, even the Rambam holds that it's also in a Torah. Because there is found that the Gemara in the second verse of the Zara raises the following problem. Mishnah tells us that if a goy milks a cow and there's no Jew who was washing the milking, so that milk was straight. That milk was awesome. So the Gemara says, why is the milk awesome? The Gemara says, maybe the reason why the milk was awesome is because maybe it's camel's milk, maybe it's hard milk. Even if the guy tells you that it's cow's milk, the guy doesn't have any amono, so that's going to be sure it doesn't apply to a guy. So the Gemara says, maybe that's the reason why the Mishnah asers the milk that was unsupervised. So the Gemara says, no, that can't be, because the milk that comes out of a camel, comes out of a chaz, it looks different than milk that comes out of a cow. The Gemara says, again, anyone ever see cow's milk? Anyone ever see camel milk? Okay, good, same whatever you want. So the Gemara says, I don't see either. So the Gemara says that the milk that comes out of a cow is much whiter, and the milk that comes out of a non-kosher animal is much darker, it's yellowish to it, it's cloudiness to it, whatever. That's clear exactly what the term the Gemara is describing. But I guess all the farmers, it would be intuitively obvious which is a chazan or which is a camel. The Gemara says there's no way the guy's going to be able to pull this over somebody who's smart, so the guy's going to come bring you a cup of milk. He's going to say, oh yeah, this is cow's milk, and you take one look at it and say, no, this is chazan milk. The Gemara says that's easy to differentiate between the two. What are we really afraid of? We're afraid that the guy's really going to be giving you cow's milk. But he's going to, you know, his cows aren't doing that well that day, they're a little bit low on milk. So, three-quarters of the cup is filled with cow's milk, and it's a little bit low, and he wants to sell you a cup of milk, so what does he do? So he runs over to the little oink, the little pig, and to get a little last couple of drops to fill up with the chazer milk. So those last couple of drops, his the milk's going to be kosher milk, so it's not going to have that yellowish, cloudyish, grayish color, whatever the Gemara is describing that the chazer milk has. So it may not be so discernible to most people, even those people who know what's the difference between cows and chaz milk, but we probably couldn't know the difference anyway. But even those people who know the difference, so the guy may be able to pull this one over you. So the lesson, that's the real chashash. The real chashash of why we require the Jew to be supervised in the milking is not because we're afraid the guy's going to give you total chaz milk, but that he's going to be ma'are, he's going to mix it a little bit of chaz milk into the kosher milk. That's how the real Gemara is after the Zohar. So this is a very basic question we have to deal with. Is this a real chashash min ha-Torah? Is this something that could potentially be a nisa deraisa or not? So the Shach has an important comment in Yerodeya, where the Shach claims that he can't believe that there could be any nisa deraisa involved whatsoever in drinking of quote-unquote non-chol Yisrael. Even if the guy comes with a cup of milk and gives it to you, the Shach says it cannot be us in that Torah. Why? Says the Shach, what's the whole fear? It's not a fear that he's really presenting to you mamish whole cup of chazan milk. The whole fear is that you'll be able to tell the difference. The real fear is that it's basically cow's milk with a little bit of chazan milk mixed in. So comes the Shach and says, what will we apply in the Torah? Oh, it's bottled in what? It's bottled. We all know, as you should know, we spoke about this earlier in the year, that in the Torah there's a principle called min berina bottled barai. Let's say I'm cooking a pot of kosher chicken soup. A couple of drops of tray for chicken soup fall in. So how much kosher chicken soup do you need to be mevatel the tray for chicken soup? So the Gemara says you need rov. As long as you have rov, it's machlekes every shalom, where the rov means 51%, the rov means the ratio of 2-1. But let's say, if I'm going to take mahakal, let's say you have 51% of kosher chicken soup, and 41% of trim chicken soup. So minat teri, that teri is totally mutter. The Gemara says in Maseches Chulin that mid the rabbanon you require bitul b'shishim. Mid the rabbanon it's not enough to have rov, you require shishim. The Rosh explains why you need shishim is because if you have a tarovus and min b'she'ein amina, let's say you cook in the potato soup and a little bit of tray for chicken soup falls in, so then there's the palm of the tray for chicken soup is nika or you can paste there, so that's a problem of no sin palm. We spoke about this earlier, really, right? That's the problem of tam ki ikra. So the notion of shishim, the way the pashas and the gemara is shishim is just the way to be certain that there's no tam left. So the Rosh in the seventh grade of Chulin, a long, long piece, we present that what's really going on in the Rosh tarovus is like this. That min haTorah and min b'mino is b'chol v'rov, because achirah mahatis. Min b'she'er amino really should have been b'chol v'rov also. Also, it should have been achirah mahatis. The only thing is that you have to be concerned with tam. So whenever you have a problem with tam keeper sets in. So it's not enough to say b'chol v'rov, so you need b'chol b'shisha b'zaraisa. Then the Chachamim went one step further and says that we don't want to take any chances and say that we're going to tell the women in the kitchen that if it's a tarov, it's a potato soup and chicken soup, then it's shisha. If it's potato soup, if it's chicken soup and chicken soup, then it's roh. You can get some mesh, I was going to get confused. The real Chacham in one fell swoop said, with the Rabbanan, even a Mimbedino, you require Shisha. But Minotari does not need to. That's what the Rosh presents it. And that's what we assume Shekhar Akha. The requirement of Shisha from Mimbedino is only a requirement with the Rabbanan. Minotari is not there. That's what Shekhar Akha quotes from the Rashba. Let's say you have a Tarob, it's a Mimbedino, and you know that you have a robe, and you're not sure whether you have Shisha. So the Allah is that's Mutter. Because the Midarai says Mutter, I'll throw. But now it's only a Sufik with the Rabbanan. The whole requirement of shishim is on the drabbah, so suffering drabbah the kula rosh enkein. If you have a tarovus and min b'she'ein amino, when the requirement of shishim is min daraisa, if you have a suffering, when you have shishim, then it's suffering daraisa l'chomim. So that's what's on the shulchan aruch. There's one tana that disagrees with this, is there? Who's the one tana? Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says min b'mino ain't a bachol. I don't know why. How do Rabbi Yehuda know that? That's what we know. We spoke about this earlier in the year, right? Dama Par Dama Sar, right? The special drush that Rabbi Yehuda had, but we don't pass the Rabbi Yehuda. Fine. So when it comes to Shach and says, we all know that we pass the Mim Rabbi Yehuda as Bapa Barom and Atayra. So what's going to be wrong with this milk? Again, the Hocha Shach is not just going to give you a cup full of chaz milk. It's going to give you a cup full of cow's milk, but a couple of drops of chaz milk, but thin. So comes the Shach and says, Minatayra is going to be Bapa anyway. Minatayra is going to be Bapa Barom. Is that Bapa in Rob chaz milk? That's going to change the color. So Minatayr is going to be butler anyway. It's only Chashash with the Rabbanim. So comes the Shach and says, the whole Chumrah of Chalav Yisrael, Chachol Lipa goes on with the Rabbanim. Because with the Rai says, no Hechetim is not having a problem, because you always have Nishamino being butler of a rope to fall back on. That's the Shach way. So the later Achareri point out from the Shach that L'chor the Shach is right, L'halacha. The only thing is that it may not fit exactly into the Gemara too well, because if the Shach is right, that the reason why the Chashash and Kol Yisrael is over the Rabbanan is because the Mimino Batel is Batel Barov, so then according to Rabbi Yehuda, who denies the Mimino Batel Barov, so it would come out an interesting thing that according to Rabbi Yehuda, maybe the requirement of Chol Yisrael can be Deraisa. So that wouldn't be so great, the way Rabbi Yehuda pointed out, because Rav happened to pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Rav and Masechus Pesachim and Masechus Avodah happened to pass him like Rabbi Yehuda. And Rav and Masechus Avodah Zarah seems to be the one who make a statement that seems to indicate that Chol Yisrael is on Yechum and Rabbanan. It's not Shaiach, there should be a Chum Din Daraisa. So the Shittas don't fit so nice. That's what Salah Harul and the Sa'ad Shach point out, that the Shach's Lombus is cool, it's neat for us, but there may be some loose ends in the Shach's Lombus. But now, Chopin, the Shach didn't invoke the principle of the Barov, which Lamaisa is going to help us. Then the Shach goes one step further. Then the Shach says, no, give me another reason why the whole Kashash and Kol Yisrael is only going to be good about it. That Shach is going to be good about it, right?
Why is it considered in
the Nino? Oh, so Shach has a multi-million dollar question. Why is it called in the Nino? So who answered Josh's question? It's milk. So isn't milk, milk and milk, is that called in the vino? What? So you're trying to defend us or attack us? Oh, so you're trying to say good, so you're trying to say it's not a question that's called in the vino. You're trying to answer Josh's question. Yes, what's the problem? The problem is like this. Josh meant to ask like this. That there's a machlokes the Rabban the Shach, the very beginning of Siman Tzadiches, beginning of Siman Tzadiches, when the Shulchan Aruch distinguishes between Tarovus Mibimino and Mibishenamino. Again, most of the time it's not too relevant for us because Allah Ramais and Yuchishim are both. But it's only relevant like Abi's fakeness because, as we said before, that the Shulchan Aruch quotes a Rashi that says that Safik Shishim by Mibimino is the Kula, Safik Shishim by Mibishenamino is the Chumra. So there's a very, very basic, he said it to the Machlekes, the Ramon, the Shach. How do you define what's called Mibimino, what's called Mibishenamino? So the Ramon says that you follow the name, you look up in the dictionary. If this is called milk, and that's called milk, that's called mimbimino. If this is called milk, and this is called potato soup, that's called mimbimino. So the Ramah says that the only kaveya as to what's called mimbimino, mimbimino, is basa shmaz lino. It's the Ramah gap is from around the end of the sentence of a dessert. The Ramah talks about the possibility that you can have two foods or two liquids which have the same name but different tastes. Or they have the same taste and different names. The Ramah talks about different possibilities. So the Ramah says, the Ramah says Mimbimino is only Basa Shmaz Lino. That's the only Kaveh. So the Shach has a long, long, long piece against that Ramah and says that that's absolutely okay. We'll hear it. Okay. So the Shach says that it's absolutely not true. The Shach tries to show you that that Gemara in the sentence of a Zohar that says Basa Shmaz Lino, that's irrelevant to this topic. The Gemara does have a statement Basa Shmaz Lino in a different context. And the Ramah borrowed it to Uchus HaRevis and Yerdeya. And the Shach says it's not true. The Shach says that, yeah, close the word is probably a little bit. So the. What? We all start to hyperventilate when we're young. So comes the, if it actually gets quiet for a few minutes, so someone should remember to open the windows, if anyone's still awake. So comes the Shach and says, now they're lugging it all wrong. The Basa Shema is irrelevant. Why should Basa Shema be a factor? Let's not forget, why is there a distinction between Mibimino and Mibishenamino? It's ultimately because by Mibishenamino there's an issue of time, there's a nice time problem. So says the Shach, if you want to know whether something is Mibimino, Mibishenamino, don't look in the dictionary. What do you have, where do you have to look? Look in the cookbooks. Ask the people whether it tastes the same or not. So this is a very, very basic Machlokes the Ramah and the Shach. How do you define the ABCs of Yerdeya? How do you define what's called Mibimino, Mibishenamino? According to the Ramah, you follow Shema. According to the Shach, you follow Tav. So come the Acharonim, like Josh, and jump on the Shach, Hilchos Chol HaVakum, and say, hey, wait a second. According to you, the Shach, who said that the determining factor in Mibimino, Mibishenamino is Tav, is not shame. So how do you know, the Shach, that chazer milk and cow milk taste the same? True, they may look the same. They don't really look so much the same. Maybe they do have the same name. They're both called cholov. So Bishlam, according to the Ramah, that would be right. That if it's, since this is called cholov, that's called cholov. So it's Mibimino, Selminatar, it's Batal Barov. But according to you yourself, 50 simanim earlier, who said the Ramah was absolutely wrong, that you have to go Basa Taimas Leinon. So you got to chat with the experts. Not the expert Jews, the expert Goyim, and see, let them taste chas, and let them taste cows, but they'll tell you whether it tastes the same or not. That's another cash of dechor in the shop. Listen, that's who you meant to ask, right? That was great. Good, you're wrong. You and Josh, we think it's similar.
Where's the
cash
on the
shop? The dechor
on the side
of on the margin of the shulchan aruch. I don't know, last time I checked the taste of chatz milk, so it tasted pretty... I don't know, you drink regular milk, I don't
like milk.
I don't know. Most of the people around the shop, most of the guys around, they weren't very friendly in the days of the shop.
It was
1648, shop lived through the... Well, it's the mask, because they weren't talking about milk. It's very much religious.
Is the distinction that's drawn only between kosher milk and non-kosher milk, or even between, like, different types of milk that are kosher?
I don't know.
I'm saying if goat's milk tastes...
I don't know if it's goat's milk. Goat's milk, I don't need to drink goat's milk.
Yeah. It's just richer.
Does it taste better? I don't know if it tastes different.
It's really
thicker.
It's much thicker. I've seen it.
My sister-in-law drinks the goat's milk. She likes goat's milk.
I'm sure there's a distinction between different types of kosher milks.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
cow's milk with the pig's milk automatically shows some.
That tastes it?
Put a little bit in.
It won't alter the taste that much.
No, like walking the market, say, okay, maybe help some blood it, help some oil, and help anything that.
That would be a silly thing to do. I mean, he's trying to sell you milk, so he's not going to do something that's too stupid. Right? Like, let's say, selling you gas. It puts a little bit of water in the gasoline. Okay, so that is not going to put coke into the gasoline. He's going to put something that.
Maybe he will. I don't know. This guy's ready to curse me.
Okay, anyway, get back to this stuff. So the Shach himself, maybe the Shach himself says that there was something a little bit shaky with his first, with the whole Mahalach movement. So the Shach comes up with another Mahalach, says, Oy Nishleimer, another reason why Chol Israel cannot possibly be the Daraisa. Comes the Shach and says, I'll tell you what, not based on different Barov, but based on another application of Barov, namely as Lina Basar Ruba. Says the Shach, most animals that are around that are giving milk are kosher animals. Most of the animals that are floating around that people are using for milk are cows. So truly, you have a few guys are raising a few pigs here and there and milking a few pigs, a couple of camels, I guess, the rest of you live in Spain, where maybe most of the milk comes from camels, I don't know. But most of the time, the milk is coming from kosher animals. So comes the Shach and says, that's not a little bit over anymore. That's us leading us a ruba. What kind of ruba is that? That's a ruba de... What is it? It's really an isa. It's a ruba isa kamar. That's like if you find a piece of meat on the floor, and you know that there are 10 stores in town, and 9 out of 10 stores sell kosher meat. So that's called the ruba the isa kamar. So you're mid Atari, you're allowed to call the park ruba bar. So it's over here. I have a cup of milk sitting here. So I know that there are 100 animals in town, and 95% of those animals are cows. So cows and goats, etc. There's only 5 animals are pigs and camels. So that's called the ruba the isa kamar.
You don't know how many animals are here. You don't know the numbers. That's a ruba the isa kamar.
So you want a pattern that's closer to the ruba the isa kamar. I don't know. I'm not sure what the Shach is describing. He's describing the metzias is that to be a ruba the isa kamar. So I'm not sure that you have to sit down and count up the storage.
Right.
But like let's say 11 bar. Let's say 11 bar bar for lunch. Right. And I find a piece of I find a hamburger on the street of bar bar. So the stone, I find that 13th Avenue. So the stone, most of the stores on 13th Avenue are kosher stores. And I say there's one McDonald's or something, right? So I have to, before I can rely on Ruben Isaac, I have to go and count every kosher blind, and this is Hamish's Barrel's Burgers.
It's a little different than the question.
It could be counted, though. That's the difference.
So the cat, the animals in the stomach can also be counted.
You count all the animals in the city?
Cities aren't so big. All the animals on all McDonald's farms. So there are 10 animals on the farm. So we know where the milk comes from. It didn't come from the other guy's farm. It came from Mr. McDonald's farm. So we know he has 9 cows on his farm and 1 pig. So the stuff is filled with something. Pull together, guys. Okay. So the Shach. I don't know, let's assume that lawyer presented. The Shach is relying on first the Bubaro to make it into a problem only with the Rabbanah, and then he's relying on his leader Basaruba to make it a problem with the Rabbanah. Comes the Chazanish and uses Rove for the third way. Comes the Chazanish, and this is what I always think about. Like, this is a Ruba Delay Sakaman classic. Why? Comes the Chazanish and says, does the Ruba Delay Sakaman that this milk is probably kosher? Why? Well, what's the Ruba Delay Sakaman?
Most folk on the market.
This is a psychological Rove now.
Most
people don't mix tray for milk into the milk. But most people, you take a survey and say, oh, that's great when they sell you milk, and they tell you this is cow's milk. So some of the real meat is cow's milk. Most people are pretty honest, even though they're not, honest for moral ethical reasons. But they don't want to get caught. They don't want to get run into problems. They don't want to lose a reputation. So the sum of the odds are that it probably really is kosher milk. So comes the Chazanish and says that's also wrong. So that's Mamshu Ruba Delay Sakamon. You can't sit down and count up each guy and survey him and ask him, are you honest or not? That's Mamshu, that's a psychological role that most people do things this way. So it's interesting, you have all different types of roles. This is a good chazar for everything we've talked about this year. We've used the principle of role appears in 3 different places in Halacha. There's a Bipul Barov, and there's a Ruba Delay Sakamon and a Ruba Delay Sakamon. And believe it or not, they all be learned after Arafa Ramahatas, which is quite a stunt. Had to learn 3 things from one pasuk, which seems to have nothing to do with Rove anyway. But at Kol Panim, we can use all 3 different types of rov to be Yashiv, why the Chol Yisrael Shiv is not a problem in our Torah. Either because of Hittu Merav, or because of Rav Dizek, or because of Hittu Merav. So the bottom line is, we assume, Rav Nacha, that whenever you're dealing with the issue of Chol Yisrael, the Darai Stikha problems have already long been solved, but now you have to still deal with the problem with the Rabbani. So comes the Mishnah and says that there was a problem, that the only time milk is mutter to drink is if there's Yisrael or Eil. The guy was milking it, and then Yisrael or Eil, so the milk was also Bishnah. So comes the Gemara and raises the following question. Should we perhaps distinguish between different types of scenarios of a guy? Okay, I guess we don't know what the Gemara sounds like. Should we perhaps distinguish between different types of scenarios of a guy presenting the milk? The Gemara draws the following possible distinction. Let's say you can have one case where old McDonald has a farm and Ein lo davar tamei be'edro means all the animals on the farm are all kosher. He's got sheep, he's got goats, he's got cows. It could be, let's say, he has dogs or something. The dogs are probably giving milk. It's not a lo bavar cheshbon. So the only, let's say, problem is the only trade for animals he would ever consider getting the milk from is, let's say, pigs and camels, as far as I'm saying. But old McDonald doesn't have a pig. He doesn't have a camel. So all we ain't no double tongue the address. That's one type of a farm. Then you can have another farm where what's the other guy's grandfather? Father Home?
Yeah.
Father
sure.
Brown? Is it Father Brown, isn't he?
Father Brown.
Father Brown, isn't he in one of these books or something? Father Brown. So Farmer Brown, he's got a lot of animals. He's got houses, he's got camels. He's got llamas, he's got, I don't know what he's got, they're falling rats, he's got the whole brown zoo. So he's Yeshul Dabiyad, Tamabiyad, or Yeshul Dabiyad. So come to the Gemara and says, should we distinguish between these two cases? So obviously, common sense dictates that when there's Yeshul Dabiyad, there's going to be a significantly more serious chashash. So there were three sheep in the Rishonim. What did the Gemara say about this? The Gemara raised the issue, and it's unclear, the Gemara says, what is the Masnanas Advar? Is there a difference in Allah for now? So there are three possibilities. Mordechai quotes one group of Rishon, Yesh, we don't tell you what it was, the Yesh Mepharshim. It appears in Shari Dura also. Shari Dura was a sefer that was written in the days of the Rishonim. Because when you look at your day, I see you quoted all the time. Yitzchak Midura, he was, that is Talmud Maharam. He wrote the Magen Avraham, he was one of the Ashkenaz Rishonim, wrote a lot about the Kashrus stuff. So in your day, he's quoted every right and left. So the Mordechai quotes this possibility, the Shari Dura has this possibility, that maybe the Maskana Sagamar is that if it's Ein lo davar tamei be'edro, then there's no requirement for Yisrael to be Ra'ayu. Because there's nothing to be chashish for. I know for a fact, let's say I went up to this guy with the guy's farm last week, and I see this guy's a cattle dealer. He's not a pig farmer. He's not interested in raising camels in upstate New York. He's not in the middle of Saudi Arabia. So in the summer, the guy only has cows on his farm. I know for a fact they only have cows on his farm, so what in the world am I going to be chashish for? So that's what some Rishonim said, then you don't need Yisrael or Ein, so then don't even come to be a cover. You can assume that it's purely 100% cow's milk. That's one sheep. That's the biggest Mekilim sheep. So the Mordechai rejects it. The Mordechai says each tree shows, at least according to the Mordechai, has gears in the Gemara, this is wrong. Now gears that appear in the Gemara, the sheep is wrong. The Shari Durex had a little bit of a different gears in the Gemara. So the Mordechai says, no, it's not true, that the Chashash exists. Even if Ein lo davar tamei be'edro, I said, what are you afraid of? Ein lo davar tamei be'edro. So what could possibly go wrong? So what's the answer? Right now, then a davar tamei be'edro. Let's say Old McDonald may not have a davar tamei be'edro, but his friend Farmer Brown down the road has davar tamei. So Old McDonald is trying to get a cup of milk and cow's milk, and he runs a little bit short, so he puts in an email to Farmer Brown to come running quickly to bring a little bit of milk. So Yisrael's not going to be watching. If John Colbert is going to be sitting in the base medrash and ordered milk to be delivered at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so these two farmers, they'd be in cahoots with each other. So just because one farmer is able to dump the other, it's not necessarily going to solve the problem. So then Mordechai Tashas would present why the age before Hashem Dura's cheshbon is not correct.
Where's this
Gemara? It's in the second Sefer Zohar, at the end of the second bank. Chesed, so we're going to give it to you. I showed you, it was ground on Chesed, on the test. Another Chesed. So, assuming it's true that we reject the Mordechai and Shari Dura, and we should reject the Yeshua Farsh and Shari Dura, that there is a fear, even if this particular guy is in the Yisro. So the question is, could we still possibly distinguish between the two cases? Assuming that we're not going to be making outright that there's no requirement at all, we saw Ra'eo, could we still perhaps salvage a little bit of what the Ezra Farshim was saying. That's the further Machlokes that we showed him. So many Rishonim say that the Torah writes this way, and Shulchan Aruch follows this way also, that even though we paskin that even if aimed over Tom Viedro, there's a problem, there's still, it's a significantly less problem than the initial Dovah Tom Viedro. How does that reflect itself? So comes the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch write the following distinction. If the guy is Yesh Lo Dovah Tom Viedro, then you have to watch the actual milking. Because if you're not mamish the b'shas ma'isa, b'shas ha'chaliv itself, you're going to be up the creek because the guy's going to pull a fast runner. He's got a camel right in the same barn next to a cow. So when you're not looking, in one split second he's going to go ahead and he's going to milk the camel and stick it into the bucket with the cow's milk. But if ain't no dava tava the edro, so you're not really afraid of something going wrong in the barn itself because there's nothing to go wrong with the barn. There's ain't no dava tava the edro. The only fear is that Farmer Brown's going to come down the road with his milk truck and bring a little bit of milk to help out old McDonald. So comes the Torah and Shulchan Aruch and say, you don't have to watch the Chaliva for that. What do you have to watch? Yeah. You got to watch the road. And you got to stay in front of the barn. You don't have to be inside the barn. You don't have to be standing there as the guy's mom is milking into the bucket. As long as you're able to, what's called Omid Mivachutz, you're able to watch outside. And the purpose of you watching outside is to make sure no outside delivery comes in without you knowing about it. So that'll be okay. So as long as you know, I know exactly what's going on inside the barn. I looked inside the barn beforehand, and I see there are 10 cows lined up. And I see he's got a clean bucket that's really shown, right? You have to check the bucket. There's no milk with this before him. So he says, absolutely, I bring my own bucket to the guy. I give him a clean bucket. There are only 10 cows standing there. I hand the bucket to the guy, and then I walk outside. So what could possibly go wrong? As long as I'm standing there by the road, making sure that nobody, there's no back door of the barns or McDonald's or what is it? Different ground or something. Father Brown's not sneaking into the back door, as long as I'm making sure that there's nothing coming in from the outside, some stomach, that's okay.
So maybe that's sitting by the barn. Why is it better to stand outside? What's the advantage of that? What's the difference whether you're standing in
front of the barn? No, I don't care where I stand. The point is that I don't have to be watching the Khalid itself. I have to just make sure nothing is coming in Achutz. That's all. When it's Yesh Lo Dovah Tom Viedro, I gotta watch the actual Khalid or else I'm gonna be up the creek. That's what the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch. And comes the Rambam and doesn't say this. The Rambam, when he quotes the Gemara, the way his interpretation of the Gemara was, is that there's absolutely no distinction between Yesh Lo Dovah Tom Viedro, Ein Lo Dovah Tom Viedro. In all cases, you have to invoke, but the Gemara used the phrase Yisroor Eil, the Jew must see the Khaliva itself. So how should we pass the Allah? These three sheets, you have the Yesh Mepharshim on the one extreme, but Ein Lo Dovah Tom Viedro, everything's mutter. You don't even need the Jew to be the Jew, no, they smash, Jew's not asleep. Everything's mutter. And you have the other extreme, the Rambam, who says it's mamash the same thing, you have to watch the Khaliva itself. So Pashas is, we should follow the Shulchan Aruch, the middle ground, which makes a lot of sense. That you don't need Yisrael or Eyo, but you do require Yisrael or Levi Nachas. That's what most of the Pashtun say. The Taz turn the world around. But most of the Pashtun shot is the way I'm presenting it. I don't know what you want to call it. I don't know what but it means it's Mutter. It's Mutter Dream. Whatever name you want to call it, it's Mutter Dream. Probably so it's a made-up term. So it's Mutter Dream. Allah permits it. That's okay.
You put a label Chol Yisrael.
You can write whatever you want. Chol Yisrael is a meaningless phrase. That one was a Mutter as well.
It's no harder to stand by the barn than to stand outside. Why would you just go just for the Rambam and just stand inside? Is it?
It smells of something. We're not the barn. We have to live inside the barn. Doesn't want to go in the barn. It's dirty in the barn. Can't wear inside a barn. Okay. Fine. So kind of along the pre-chadosh, and I'm just turning the world upside down. Came along the pre-chadosh and said, yeah, 100%. We paskin that there's a problem of potential problem of Chol Rakom. Even when Ein Lo Dovah Tom Viedro, however, says the Pichadosh, the Med Devar Gemur, there's a problem when there's a Dovah Tomei down the road, when there's a Dovah Tomei in the same city. That means Farmer Brown lives the next door neighbor. Farmer Brown's 5 minutes away, he can come in a few minutes. But let's say you're living in a town where the whole town is Ein Lo Dovah Tom Viedro. There are no camels in town. There are no Chazayim in town. The closest camel is in Kuwait. So comes the Pichadosh and says, then it doesn't make any sense to be chayshish. What do you mean chayshish for? The whole reason why the Rishonim rejected the Eish Mepharshim and the Mordechai is because they were afraid of Father Brown coming sneaking in the back door of the barn. But if Father Brown doesn't exist, he's too far away to realistic. You're gonna call a guy from 3,000 miles away to come bring you a half a cup of milk. Anyone watched who saw the video know the milk? Actually, it's an Akumash, right? This is your forte.
I got it wrong.
About the father who asks his kid to bring him a cup of milk? No?
Yeah,
yes. Right, and he goes to the store, there's no milk. So he goes on a train, there's no milk. He goes on a plane, he goes on a boat, he goes in a rocket ship, goes to the moon, he falls down, and then his neighbor's backyard brings him a cup of milk, and the father gives him a cat of the head. And the whole notion, and the whole lumpness of the whole thing is, Kibbut Abba Aim is the name of the game. Anyway. I don't think you have very good chayv to go to the moon. Anyway, so that's the stuff. That was filmed in. Anyone know where that was filmed? What? No. It was filmed in Kibron Hills. Because you know the streets in Kibron Hills. Filmed on Main Street. You can see the supermarket that it goes into. I think was Wasserman's supermarket. You can see the stores. Anyway. Yeah. So comes the Picharish and says, normal people don't go to the moon to get milk. So there's a guy, another farmer down the road, then there's a chashash. There's no farmer around, there's nothing to be concerned. That's the Picharish. And most of the poskim, at least the Ashkenazi poskim, did not accept the Picharish. It doesn't make a difference. Even if there's no coming around for miles, it's still going to be a problem. So the question is, why is that so? Why did everybody disagree with the Picharish? The Chacham makes a lot of sense what the Picharish is saying. So the Chara market present the poskim will disagree with the Pichadosh for one of two reasons. Either it would say that they disagree with the Pichadosh in terms of the Messias, or they disagree with the Pichadosh in terms of Halacha. What do we mean by that?
You don't know. You can't tell if there's no
animals. Oh, okay. So you can say that maybe the Pichadosh, if theory is right, you can really be sure that there's no animal around, and it's not going to be so feasible for the great come. So the Pichadosh really does make a lot of sense. The only thing is that the other post don't. The Gemara doesn't say that distinction. So maybe we have to always ask ourselves your question, our ability to make such a judgment call. Maybe there is talking another animal around that we didn't know of, or maybe Farmer Brown will be making efforts to help out old McDonald even from another town. But you don't know. It's not necessarily the most convincing proof that there's no chaz of milk in this particular cup of milk that the guy's bringing you. It sounds nice, it sounds good, but it's not absolutely convincing. I could say that Pichadosh is right. In terms of Mitzvah, the Pichadosh is totally right. That in terms of the Tzias HaDvarim, the closest camel is 1,000 miles away. You ordered one cup of milk from the guy, so the guy's going to go be Moshe Nefesh to go bring travel 1,000 miles to get you a little camel's milk to make up for this and the cow's milk. Will tell you, he'd rather take the loss of the cow's milk than be me Matriach so much to get the train to milk. So comes the poskim and disagree with the Picharish and say the Picharish is right in terms of Mitzvahs, but in terms of Halach is not right. Why? Because it was the Takonas Chachamim. And what was the name of the Takonas Chachamim? That Chalav, Shechov, or Akol requires two words. We spoke about this earlier in the year. Two words. Yisrael, Ro'ehu. Finish, end of discussion. So you have to have a Jew seeing the milking process. Even if you could have figured out on your own intuitive logic that there's a 99.99% chance that there ain't no of milk in this cup, it doesn't matter. That's irrelevant. In order to fulfill this din derabbanan of Yisrael Ra'ehu, you have to have Yisrael Ra'ehu Mamish. That's the other understanding of why we disagree with the Picharish. Again, the Picharish camp is Gevaldik Echidish. No going, no trade milk and cow, everything is more dirt. And we don't pass like the Picharish. It's most of us, most of the people didn't pass like the Picharish. Either because they disagree with his Metzias, or they disagree with his Allah.
Yeah,
Oh, so comes Eli and comes Daniel, and a Mechav into
Rabbah.
Okay. So comes the Chalkos Binyamin. Anyone know the Chalkos Binyamin? Chavetz Chaim. 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 The Bala Shulchan's son. You know what the Bala Shulchan is?
Mentioned.
It's fake. We mentioned. It's your final comment. Rafael Cohen wrote a few svarim. He wrote a sefer on Hilchos Nida, Hilchos Tevila, and then Hilchos Blas B'chov, Hilchos Harovas. So his son wanted to write a sefer also. So his son wrote, I guess it was in the family, so his father left off at the end of Chelet Aleph and Yerodeh. So he started from the beginning of Chelet Beis and Yerodeh. So between the two of them, they knocked off Aleph and Beis. So he wrote a sefer, on Bishalach, on Palsach, on Kodisho, Behinasach, on all the Acham stuff in terms of food at the beginning of the Chelet Beis of Yerodeh. So it's a Kavalik sefer. His father's farm of Kavalik is farm of Kavalik. So he has an interesting ha'ara, this ha'ara, which we'll come into that this is, this other tzad of the chakir, which we'll see in a second, who was the person who was the big proponent of this tzad, this other tzad of the chakira, l'chora takes us into the Rambam's territory. This makes a lot of sense according to the Rambam sheet, because remember we said the Rambam holds that even if there's ein davar kamei, the edro, you need yisora eil mamish. So that makes sense to say that if you hold that it's a low plug, that the kachtik nechama, you need yisora eil, so then you need yisora eil under all circumstances, and just standing outside the barn is not called yisora eil. Having the Jews standing outside the barn is just a hochacha, to the best of our ability, that this happened no trace of milk in there, but it's not yisora eil mamish. So, l'chora, this other tzad of the Hakira only fits if you accept the Rambam Shita, or the Taz seems to accept the Rambam, seems to pass it like the Rambam. But if you go straight to the Shulchan Aruch, straight to our Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, Shah, the regular classic Malach and Shah, that there is a kula, that you don't really need your Sorah Eyo and aim the Batam of the Edril, it's enough to have Yoshim and Bechutz, so that it would appear that this requirement, quote unquote, the Sorah Eyo is not an absolute entity. Yisrael Eyu is just a way of proving that there's no treif milk there. So if you can come up with some other way of proving that there's no treif milk, then that should be good enough. So l'chora, the second time of the Hebra, really doesn't seem to make too much sense unless you're willing to accept the Rambam sheet. That's his ha'ara. I'm not sure if the answer to ha'ara is the ha'ara. It's a very shvat ha'ara.
How
long
ago?
But then
that you
have to
do,
like,
so
you
wash the
milk, the cow.
The
whole point is that
you
know for a fact that
without a doubt
the
device
is
not looking.
It's
yeah. But the Gemara, most of the Rishonim, the Gemara passes is that
Eidah Tabe
Edo, you don't need the Jew to wash. It's enough to have the Jew
standing outside.
No, so according to the Rambam, I understand that you saw it was that the Kodesh was a low plug. The low plug was that it's got to be Jewish seed milk. I don't care, you figured it out. Eliyahu Novi came and told you that it's kosher milk, it doesn't matter.
The whole point of it is just that I won't mix it.
So sometimes you have a gezeira that the chavim just address the time of gezeira, and sometimes the chavim formulated that the nature of the yisur is that quote unseen milk.
Why
is that? Nine out of 10 times, the way to prove that the milk is kosher milk is absolutely so right. So you can make it out once in a while, a way of figuring it out, that's so right, that's perfect.
That's
exactly
what I'm saying.
That according to the Rambam and the Taz, it was more than that. It's not just enough to have a way to figure it out. You need to sort of So who was the Shita, the Yachar, the great Poisek, who was the big believer in the second shot? That the requirement of Yisroel Eyo was an absolute Chok Lo Yavor. Who? Brazil?
Is
it Moshe?
I think it was Moshe.
You don't want to rush that. The same country. Chassam Sofer, yeah, he was the one. Chassam Sofer was the strongest supporter of the Chassam Sofer industry. Chassam Sofer writes in a tshuva that this is obviously the reason why we disagree with the Pri Chodesh, because we hold that Yisrael Re'eh was absolute literal, and Shum Panav Ha'ofen, you cannot be Mach Shemil, that there was a Yisrael Re'eh, even if you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the milk was not touched, was not mixed in at all. That's the problem. It doesn't seem to fit. That's very nice according to the Rambam and the Taz, but for me, it doesn't seem to match up to what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So the Chassam Sofer then goes on to show you that his Yisayid is right. He's going to prove to you what he thinks is beyond the shadow of a doubt, that his Yisayid is right. So comes the Chassam Sofer and says, there is a very difficult Rashi, also in the Masechta Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara is talking also within the Yisr of Chol of Akkam and also within the Yisr of Gevinas Akkam. The Mishnah tells us there was another Yisr of the Rabbana that you're not allowed to have cheese that was produced by Goyim. So the Gemara has a whole series of different reasons why you're not allowed to have cheese. One of the reasons is that they used to use rennet, they used to use part of the treif ingredients to make the cheese become cheese. There are other reasons that the Gemara gives. So one of the reasons, in all that whole sugya, so the Gemara says that maybe one of the reasons why you're not allowed to have cheese that was produced by a guy, was not because there's anything intrinsically wrong with the cheese per se, but because the milk is strange. Because the same way you're not allowed to drink the milk that was milked by the guy because of hashash, maybe there's camel's milk in there. So maybe the cheese that the guy is now selling you has camel's milk in it also. All the other days the Gemara say the problem with cheese is a whole totally different problem. The problem that he added in other ingredients or other hashashas, whatever those hashashas are. So here, one day the Gemara says, no, but the problem is that the age-old problem, the gavina and chalav is all the same problem. It's the same fear, maybe there's a little bit of camel's milk. So the problem is, the Gemara tells us that really can't be true. You really, if a guy brings you a piece of cheese, so you really don't have to be afraid that there's any Trajan milk in there. Anyone know why?
No kind of cheese.
What?
Doesn't turn into cheese.
Because Trajan milk does not turn into cheese. That's a fact. That is Matthias. That not all Trajan milk, but at least the non-kosher milk that was the Chazal familiar the days of Chazal did not have the ability to turn to cheese. The reason for this is, someone who's a cheese expert trying to explain this to me, that has to do with the fat content of the milk. Only certain types of milk can turn into a cheese. So apparently all the milk that Chazal was dealing with, the chaza milk, the cow milk, whatever it was, so it just doesn't have that physical ability. You can let it sit from time to time. Add milk, if you take a bottle of milk and you leave it outside for a week, it'll just turn spoiled. It's not going to turn into cheese. Because our milk is pasteurized and homogenized. It's made in such a way that it won't. But if you take, in the old days, you take a bottle of milk and you're right out of the cow, and you just sit it outside for a day, so it'll start to, anyone ever read Little Miss Muffet, curds and whey. So the milk starts to separate into two parts. It separates into the watery part, that's the whey, the mechalot, and then it turns into, they have the chunky part, the chunky cheese part, that's the curds, eventually if you have it sit long enough, that'll turn into cheese. So that milk that comes with the chaza does not have that ability. It's just not going to happen. It will not separate in the same way. So it's never going to be able to become cheese. There are, we're going to read some of it, that there are certain non-kosher animals that do have that ability. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that. It's not that a tray for milk can't return to cheese. There are certain non-kosher animals that can't return to cheese. But those non-kosher animals, I don't know, some animals out there in the middle of a boondock somewhere that Chazal weren't dealing with, so that wasn't considered to be a chashash. But the normal animals that Chazal dealt with, that the milk without the cheese. So comes the Gemara and says, if a guy comes and brings a piece of cheese, what do you have to be afraid of? If he brings you a cup of milk, then you have to be afraid maybe there's some trade milk in there. But if he brings you a piece of cheese, so then what are you afraid of? The fact that it turns into cheese, so that by definition shows that it's not coming from trade milk. So the Gemara says no, at least the way Rashi reads the Gemara. Chazal Rashi for a bit of time, I read the Gemara. So comes Rashi and says no. But you're right. But if you would take a whole cup of trade milk and try to turn it into cheese, it's not going to turn into cheese. But if you take a cup of 99% cow's milk and a little bit of trade milk mixed in, it'll turn into cheese. Just that the cow's milk part will solidify into cheese, and the little drops of the chaza milk will not solidify. They'll top remain as what the Gemara calls tzuchei cholov. They'll remain as little drops of milk. And you won't even realize it. It'll be mixed in there into this whole, you have this beautiful piece of Kraft cheese, and you won't realize that a little bit of shirayim inside that cheese are really still liquefied, really never turned into cheese. So the guy could pull this stunt on you, even if he's turning it into cheese. That's what the Rashi reads the Gemara. So comes Tosfos, the neighbor of Tam, and he asks Rashi, I don't understand, what is Rashi talking about? A guy comes and brings you a piece of cheese, so you have to be afraid that maybe he mixed a little bit of milk in there. Comes to us and says, what guy in his right mind would, if he's in the milk business, so he's trying to sell you a quart of milk and he runs short a little bit, so he'll throw in a little bit of trace of milk to get them in, assuming that you won't catch it. But if he's in the cheese business, so everybody knows that putting in the tray for milk is going to ruin the quality of the cheese. It means you can end up with these big blobs of milk still sitting there, which are not going to crack, they're not going to turn into cheese. So it's obvious that no guy in their right mind, it's counterproductive for him to mix in the tray for milk if he's trying to sell you cheese. So comes Tosfos and asks Rashi, if the whole fear of eating the guy's cheese is because of the guy's milk, so the opposite should be true. That means if the guy's trying to sell you a cup of milk, then you have to be patient. Maybe there's a little bit of trace of milk mixed in there. But if he's trying to sell you a piece of cheese, so the even though it's physically possible there could be some trace of milk seeping in between the cracks, but no goyim in the right mind would ever pull off such a stunt. So shouldn't that be enough to be mocked to the cheese? That's Tosfos Kasha against Rashi. And because of the Kasha, Tosfos gives an entirely different reading of that in Marvus Ezra Vedazar. So comes the Chassam Sofer and says, it's Taka to Kasha. What did Rashi think? Why didn't Rashi realize that isn't the fact that the goy would never want to ruin his business, isn't that enough of a chacha that the milk is not treasure milk? So what's the answer, says the Chassam Sofer? So comes the Chassam Sofer, what's he machir from Rashi? What? That you have chachas from today till tomorrow. You can have all the rise in the world, it's totally irrelevant. Calls not the Rav Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael, Chalila, the milk is trade. Finished. Ayatanga right, says Chazam Sofer, Rashi will agree that there is no way in the world this piece of cheese has trade for milk in it. Because no good would be dumb enough to try to misrepresent the trade for milk in the piece of cheese. But it doesn't happen, says Rashi. You can have all the svaras and the lumbus and and all the business reasons in the world. It's irrelevant, it doesn't solve the problem of Yisrael. That's the Chazam Sofer, one of the Rabbi from Shittas Rashi. So comes Alex, he says, he doesn't understand Chazam Sofer B'chol. Maybe what? What makes you think that the guy is milking all his milk for the purpose of cheese? The guy's got 20 cows. So he's in the milk business, he's in the cheese builds, the business, he's making pizzas, making ice creams. So he milks a little bit of milk. He doesn't know what he's going to use it for yet. And he sees that, he doesn't really have enough, so we'll throw in a little bit of a chas milk. And then he'll decide a week later to use that milk to make cheese. Inochinami says, you can argue that if we would know for a fact this guy's whole milking is hachal mikol for the purpose of making cheese, so then taka, it's a good kasha, it's an unbelievable kasha, tells you as in Rashi. That's not the case. We're talking about small businesses, talking about small farms. So just because he's now presenting you with cheese doesn't necessarily prove what his original kavanah was b'shas ha-chaliva. So the reason why Rashi is choshesh. It's not because Rashi held from this new halachic concept called low flow. Rashi never heard of this low flow. Rashi says because it's not a chacha, it's not a dina chacha. Who says this chacha? That's Rashi. That according to what he said before. Sure, who says this? Rabbi Shirai says chacha. 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 Not a right user. But so bottom line, we have this running question over here. We have the Prichadosh, who clearly didn't go with the low flow, because the Kodosh is willing to be mocked outright when there's any double time to Edrel. And we have the fact that we disagree with the Prichadosh. So the question is, why do we disagree? Do we disagree with the Metzias, or do we disagree in terms of the Allah? So if we help, we disagree with the Allah, it's going to Rashi all the way, and one can disagree with the Rashi. Comes the Chassam Sofer now. If it wasn't bad enough up until now, with the Chassam Sofer had it in for the Chalav Akum companies, comes the Chassam Sofer and makes an absolute turnaround. It goes like this. Because up until now, everyone thinks that if you hold like the Prichadosh, so then everything's mutter, basically, because there's man that's there, not the farm, the Edro. You have a farm, so you have dairy farms. Upstate New York, it's a dairy farm. So you think they have camels running around upstate New York. They have pigs running around upstate. They're not milking pigs. Everyone's under. They're only milking cows. They're only milking cows because man is there. So that's like, even though they may have a couple of cows, a couple of pigs running around, they're not under the kach b'chaliva. Like, that's what the poskim say. How can the Prichadosh describe a place where any dama tala the edro, there are no dogs in town? Dogs also have milk, they're mammals, all mammals are milking. The answer is, that's full of cheshbon, things which are not normally the processing milk, but not even in the latest of something that they're milking, so that's called any dama tala the edro. So Bisman is that all of our places, and let's say upstate New York, where they're milking cows, any dama tala the edro. So according to the Prichadosh, everything's mutter. So some sort of says, yeah, the whole Prichadosh is mutter.
What if you have trade animals there, where you just use them for slaughtering and plowing, and none of them are even being milked?
So that's like the Hilo Dov Tom Biadro. I mean, it's not in the bowl. No one would dream in a million years of milking a camel.
Well, let's say it is. It's milked all over the place, just on your farm. You have pigs there, but you don't use them for milking, you use them for
other. I don't know. The shishai on the pigs. So comes to Samson and says, Pashas is going to be Chadash now. So basically, every one of our scenarios will be Mutter. But according to me, says the Samson, and most of the folks will be not accepted to be Chadash, so everything will be awesome. So comes to Samson and now makes the following list. He says, If the Prichadash is right, then all of our milk is also awesome. Even as man as yet, even in New York, all that looks to be also, even if the Prichadosh is right, and Fakir says it some second. If the Prichadosh is right, then all of that milk is more usher But if the picharish is wrong, sounds like Purim Torah, no? Picharish was the maker. He's the one that said everything's mutter. So what's Chassam Sofer talking about? Who knows? The famous riddle. Famous to say Chassam Sofer. If the picharish is wrong, so then it's also. If the picharish is right, then it's even worse also. Rav Benji, what do you say? Comes Chassam Sofer and says, for Dairy Dairus, all the Ashkenazi communities have not relied on this pre-Chadash school. No one's ever testified it. Many of the Spider communities did all. The Ashkenazi communities never relied on this school. Comes Chassam Sofer and says, what's pshat in the fact that we haven't relied on the pre-Chadash? Why don't we like the pre-Chadash? So you can say one of two things. Either you can say, because we hope it's wrong up the Allah. So we hold, therefore, our milk, even though, let's say, in Hungary, let's say there was no Dan, no, you have to tell us, you have to fill us in. No, you have double time. Have you ever been in Budapest? Yeah, you still have double time. Okay. So let's say we would see you have a place that ain't double time. We see, we would have thought we'd have an expert. We have a class trip. We have a class trip to Budapest. Freshburg. So comes the Chassam Sofer and says, if even if you have cities where ain't double time, the Edril, the minute of the Ashkenazi communities was never to rely on the Pichonish. Says the Chassam Sofer, maybe they didn't rely on the Pichonish, they held it was wrong. But they held it was wrong because they held that the Mishnah still applies, that the din, the Mishnah of Chol of Yisrael, Chol of Akam Ein Osar, applies even in the scenario of the Pichonish. That's one possibility. Or says the Chassam Sofer, maybe the reason why they didn't accept the Pichonish was not because they held it was wrong. You know what says the Chassam Sofer in a bad face? Maybe the Pichonish is right. Maybe in terms of pure love, this is absolutely right. So how come nobody relied on it for the last 300 years? What's the answer?
Case never came up.
No, no. Yeah, cases. What? Kali's own account upon himself, Zachumra, not to follow the Pichadash, even though he's right. Meikra then he's right. So come to Chassam Sofer and says, what's going on? Why is it Pichadash had this great Svara and nobody's following in the Ashkenazi community? So is Pshat because they hold he's wrong? Well, because they hold that he's right, but Abba Gichem, you don't want to follow it. Come to Chassam Sofer and says, Chapa Tremendous not giving up. If you hold that he's wrong, and that's why we're not drinking his milk, so then it's also the dinner bottle, that's a chol of akum. Because we paskin against him, we paskin it for chol of akum. If you hold that he's right, and the reason why we're not drinking is b'taras chumra, what do you mean b'taras chumra? What does that mean?
Nether.
It means it's a what?
Nether.
It's a nether. The nether had tzibur. The Christ will accept it upon themselves, or chenik, the Christ will accept it upon themselves, to ask us something that was basically mutter, a kidneyos. So the Ashkenazim who don't eat kidneys, that's like a nisa deraisa now. So that's like a nether atibur that we've accepted upon ourselves as a chumra, not a kidneys gezerah that we may come to be nishal or chametz. So it will be here. We've accepted upon ourselves as a chumra not to drink the milk that's mutter. The milk is mamish mutter because it's right on target, and still not going to drink it because of a chumra of a minig atibur, a nether atibur, etc. Comes the Chassam Sofer, the final kill says. You wanted to tell me, you big Pichadash people, that the Pichadash is right and I'm wrong. You hope that that's not true, says the Chassam Sofer. Because if I'm right, so then it's only Nisa Derabbanan. If I'm wrong, then it's also Nisa Derabbanan. Pretty impressive, huh? Nisa Derabbanan is Barani Min HaTorah. Maybe. It's also a Chiddush of the Chassam Sofer. That's the Adkan Derech Chassam Sofer. So basically, at all accounts, Chassam Sofer offered all the milk, basically. All milk is not Yisrael or Ehu. Is out of the question. Either with the rice, it's out of the question because of the nether of Tibor, it's also with the Rabbanan, which is what Chassam Sofer honest to goodness thought because of the low percent.
I mean, what does it mean by
Tibor? Because the Ashkenazi Tibor.
I can
do like that? Yeah,
we have a kidney else. We have a kidney else. Is there a moment in it? Is it a kidney else with the
rice? No. It could be that we hold that the nether of Tibor is only with the Rabbanan. It could be that there's no such thing as a meaning of Tibor really being bonding in that area. I'm sorry if it has anything. There's a Gemara Nadar that sounds not that way.
Then that would mean accepting our power ourselves as Davin Meir. That means Meir was Doris. That's what you're saying, Meir.
Pretty good, eh? Fine. So where does all this put us, Lahalacha? So, came to the Chazon Ish. When they asked the Chazon Ish, what's the story of this man is there? We have what's called government supervision. The government's looking around and they're telling you that there's no chazon here, listen there, come on. So, Chacham the Chazanish says, a very strange comment. Chacham the Chazanish says, it's mutter. The milk's mutter as long as the government's, you're pretty sure the government is reliable, so, you know, the government's going to do the check that it's supposed to do. Says the Chazanish, yeah, all the milk is mutter, then you don't need to throw an ale. Why? So comes the Chazanish and says, like the Pre-Chadosh. Because what did the Pre-Chadosh tell us? That whenever it's Eid Ramatam of the Edro, so, what did the Pichadish tell us when it's Ein Davatar B'Chala'ir, so there's nothing to be Chalashish for? So government supervision is like Ein Davatar B'Chala'ir, even though there is a Davatar B'Chala'ir, but remember we said that Ein Davatar B'Chala'ir is not an absolute, there are dogs in town, but Ein Davatar B'Chala'ir means that it's highly inconceivable that this farm is going to be using trade milk. So comes the Chazanish and says that even we too, you would have a case where there are physical Devarim today in the ear, but if the guy would get caught using pig's milk, you end up with a big knas. So that's like the lach equivalent of Eidah Vatam B'Chol HaBiyah. So the Chazanish, was mat the government, this is a funny place. So the Chazanish was mat the government regulation, in effect relying on the Pre-Chadosh, the application of the Pre-Chadosh Shishik, which is a very difficult Chazanish, because I thought that Chassam Zerbe told us that the Ashkenazi community is never relying on the Pre-Chadosh. I thought that we don't want to build everything based on the Pre-Chadosh. So came over to Moshe and said, you can be matir milk, which is the base of government supervision, nothing to do with the Pre-Chadosh. The Pre-Chadosh is not the right. We don't accept the Pre-Chadosh. No, we don't want to accept the Pre-Chadosh. We accept the Pre-Chadosh, then we have the Chassam Zerbe Chumra to worry about. So we don't really accept the Pre-Chadosh in the Moshe. But why do we disagree with the Pre-Chadosh? So we're back to the original Chakira. There's a reason why we disagree with the Pre-Chadosh, because we hold his Metzius is wrong, or because his Halach is wrong. So comes there, because we hold it as a low plug. So Rav Moshe was a very big non-believer in this low plug. Rav Moshe was the one who said that raya that sometimes the brother Rashi is not a raya at all. Rav Moshe says, there's no such thing, there's no low plug. It's pointed out before, the way the Shekhanah Taskins, that ain't up a time of the embryo, so it's good enough for the Yisrael to be owned by Chutzvars. That seems to indicate that there was no plug. No low plug. There's no low plug whatsoever. What do you need to be matter chol of Akum? What you need is a gewaldike hochacha that is not trained to milk in there. It doesn't have to be re'iya mamish, but it's got to be a really good hochacha. The Pre-Chadosh's hochacha was not a good enough hochacha, but you need better than the Pre-Chadosh. So what's considered to be better than the Pre-Chadosh? It says the stone government supervision. That's better than the Pre-Chadosh. Why? It says it doesn't pay. It's mamish doesn't pay for the person. Dicks in and betrays him. Then Ramesh goes to the whole cheshbon. He's going to get a knas, and in order for him to pay off all the workers in the factory to keep hashash about, it's going to cost them even more to bribe the official. It's not the time when a person is going to be willing to risk to risk having a couple of drops of chazan milk inside. When they run tests on milk now. So it's not as if they test their milk 500 different times before it gets to your. The table, they're not testing for chazan milk. That's not even in the ballpark. That's not even havmir. They're testing for impurities, for bacteria. So somewhere along the line, probably one of these tests, I don't know, that's your buffing milk test, probably this chazan milk mixed in your pot's going to show up somewhere along the line. So comes the Rishon, a long tshuva in the end. But again, and we got a 3/4 tshuva about this, he writes that our hochachos, bezman hazeh, are better than the Pre-Chadosh's hochachos. So therefore, even if we disagree with the Pre-Chadosh, it's still going to be able to read the Chazanish, linked at the cool of government inspection to the Pre-Chadosh. But Moshe writes that it's even better than the Pre-Chadosh. Then Moshe seems to take a little bit, which we spoke about earlier on here also, where Moshe seems to say, it's a new form, Moshe seems to say, that when you have a hochacha, such a hochacha berura, so it could be its mutter, even according to Chassam Sefer's cheshbon. Why? Because what the Chassam Sefer said is, the Chassam Sefer called Yisroel Ra'eyu. So comes with Moshe and says, well, we know that Re'iyah doesn't always mean Re'iyah. Sometimes Re'iyah means Yediyah. If you have Yediyah Berurah without any sveikus whatsoever, that's the equivalent of Re'iyah. Where do we have that? And we spoke about this last week. What's the learning? Darius, get cut. What did Taisa say? The Yeshua Farshim Taisa that says that you need Re'iyah's Bezdin. So you don't really need Re'iyah's Bezdin. That is good enough to have Yediyah's Bezdin. Huh? But we find this in other areas of Allah also, that for Kiddush Biya, so you don't have to see Mahamash Biya, there's a big machlok as a post when it comes to Gay, we're speaking about Tayshah, we didn't talk about it before, but it's important for this Rav Moshe, that there was some poskim who had the following Shaila. What's the din when you do Gay for a woman, So the Gemara has a whole protocol on how to do it, because you have to have a Beis Din present b'shas tefillah, and the Bechor Beis Din has to see the tefillah itself. It's been very not so tanua to do that. So the Gemara says, first the woman goes into the water, the Beis Din stands outside. The woman goes into the water up to her neck, then she covers it with a towel or a sheet or something on her, then the Beis Din walks in, they interrogate her a little bit in the water, then she goes under the water. As soon as she goes under, the Beis Din scoots out of the room. So some poskim said that even that's hard to pull off. Because apparently there was a nice in a certain community, not in America, in another country, where this process of Geirus got to the non-Jewish newspapers about the rabbis, the prutzim, that they're watching the women going to the mikvah. There was a very big chil Hashem. So there was a whole issue about, is there any way to somehow circumvent this? Is there any way to have the day they're not literally watching? So there was some posting before this mice happened. There was some posting ready years ago who said that maybe you don't need an actual Yediyah, an actual Re'iyah, because let's not forget the Yesh Mefarshim, because you said the Yediyah is good enough, it's like Re'iyah, so maybe you can rely on the Yesh Mefarshim. How are you going to do it? How do you know she went to the mikvah? What do you mean? The basin standing in the waiting room. So how do they know the woman went to the mikvah? Well, there should be a Gedol Re'iyah. Here, instead of here, the splash. I don't know why that's exactly the best ride. Maybe she just played with her rubber duckies in the tub. I don't know why that's not good. But some folks can come up with this idea. Here the woman go boom and bang and here a big gavalik splash. So that in the chokach it doesn't do with the woman. I don't understand. What?
Jump in, walk
in the room, make a little splash. Say, stay with your ear, let's make a little splash. Then some person, some big person can come up to say with that idea. This was not a modern day invention. There was some Gedolei Poskim from Shul Salat, but I'm not mistaken, from the Rav Yerushalayim. I think he had this idea. Others had this idea. So Rav Moshe does not like this at all. It's true. Rav Moshe writes that he says we pass like the Yesh Mefarshim, and remember we already said that maybe Beis Din is different. Maybe Beis Din's role is what we talked about the other day. Maybe it's Kabbalah's Geirus, not just Yediyah's Beis Din. Maybe we say that's what some Rishonim disagree with the Yesh Mefarshim, that it's not enough just to be in theory cognizant. You have to mamish re'iyah mamish. So Rav Moshe didn't like this application too much when it came to Geirus, but the principle is correct in halacha. There is such an idea that if you have the idea of burus, that's like the equivalent of mamar seeing. So Rav Moshe, at the end of his tshuva, writes something along the lines. I think Rav Moshe is saying something along the lines of that even if you hold the yinidi soro eyo, mamish you need ro'eyo, but even that doesn't really mean it. There's no way to insist that you need mamish soro eyo, because since there's a principle called tarkula that yidia by dos is like ro'eya. So Mustamad, that's considered to be like Kili, you have Yisrael Re'eyu. So whatever you slice your Maisha, Yisrael Maisha means that Yediyah Brewer is good enough, or Yisrael Maisha means that Yediyah Brewer is like Yisrael Re'eyu, whatever you understand your Maisha. The bottom line is your Maisha clearly came down against the Chassam Sefer. The whole Chesh of the Chassam Sefer and Maisha disagree.
Yeah, but only Rachutz is not going to, I mean, how is this idea of government is originally any better than Omer Bachutz?
Yeah, but all you need is Omer Bachutz.
I'm saying Omer Bachutz according to the Sam. So
we watch it be less than Omer Bachutz.
Yeah.
Because we don't understand how sometimes they let you get away with Omer Bachutz.
Right, I'm saying.
You have to say Omer Bachutz, that's a Jumia, so that's called like Ria. But there's no Jew in town, that's not called Ria. I don't know, you have to say something, but some sort of didn't miss that didn't show. I don't know.
How much of a video would you use to see? I mean, how much of that is possible? To like watch the milk from the time that it's milked until
it's... Yeah, so the Gemara also tones down this row, right? The Gemara says that you don't have the Mamasha be staring at the whole time. The Gemara says that Esher Lirah, that's also over here. As long as the guy knows that you could look, the Gemara says, let's say you're sitting down, and from the angle that you're at, so you can't see anything. The Gemara says, you could jump up and moments notice and look. The Gemara says, that's called Yisrael Re'eyu. So, you see, the Gemara is also watering down a little bit of what's called Yisrael Re'eyu. So, bottom line, halacha, where is this for us? So, we really have three different possible approaches to our supervised government, supervised milk. Didi could take some surface approach that's mamish straight because it's lacking Yisrael Re'eyu with all the halachas in the world, so it's out of the question. Or you could be mastered basically as the Pri Chadosh. Bichadosh will be mapped anyway because we have basically Ein Dover Tov Be'edro B'Zman Hazeh. I mean, we have Ein Dover Tov B'Chala'ir B'Zman Hazeh. So we'll be mutter based on the pure Pichadosh. And even without the pure Pichadosh, the Chazanish's permutation of the Pichadosh, that government supervision is like Ein Dover Tov B'Chala'ir. And then you can be matred, always be matred, the third grounds, and even against the Trichosh, it's still mutter, based on the religious question. How should we pass him? Should we follow the Samsoifer? Should we follow Chazavish and Reb Moshe? So Reb Moshe himself, we have to, he does this like any tshuva, Reb Moshe does this, he has this, you know, his big chiddush, it's a 20-day tshuva, the amount of the Chalav Akum. And the end of the tshuva, he writes that, yeah, you know, you can disagree with me, Samsoifer disagree with me, you can question me, maybe it's not such a big chok, you can argue. So Reb Moshe writes, you know, it's not a bad thing to be matped on Chol Yisrael. But then Reb Moshe writes, he personally is also matped on Chol Yisrael. But in terms of being an Eastern thing, there's Manazah. So Reb Moshe writes, he doesn't think that's really knowing there's Manazah. He writes, for those Yirei Shemayim who want to be matped, so Tav Aleichem Bracha. Those who don't want to be matped, so Reb Moshe writes, so you won't get a brother. You won't get a Chol either, you won't get a brother. That's what Reb Moshe writes. And there were others who disagreed outright with Reb Moshe, who held that the whole thing is wrong. They held that some side for. Again, this is the running up like this Adayon Azeh, whether this should be a problem or not. There are those who follow the different permutations of those people who say that Machpel Chol Yisrael. There are some people who hold the Mishnah's Mamshu, you know, the Chassidus of Poiskim, the Hungarian Poiskim, that's it. Chassam Sefer was Mishnah will come to Mishnah, right? So some people you know probably hold like that, right? So they still talk about Chassam Sefer Hungary? He's still the president? But those people who would result, it's like the Gro was in the Litvish world, so Chassam Sefer was in the Hungarian world. So those who were the big followers of the Chassam Sefer, so they all know the Cholavach was Mamish Trey. So if it's Trey, so it's going to Trey up Kalim also. So if you're the Halacha, it says it's Shulchan Aruch, but if you have Cholavach, and so it's going to make you pass Trey. So well, you couldn't leave the people's houses. If someone who's not Makhon Chom Sefer, you couldn't leave their house. Well, let's see, you couldn't have any kunz in there. I'm going to be mapping my kids. I'm not going to be mapping. My wife's not going to be mapping. And the one who is pregnant, she's not going to be mapping. She's learning. All these kunz, all these games are all assuming that the whole thing is not really true. That the whole page of the Chol Yisrael is not really married as much as that. You're basically following a relation. You have your own personal business. I see this. So you're mapping for yourself. So you're not mapping for your kids. You're not mapping when there are certain circumstances. You're not mapping on Caleb. You're not mapping on Belia. So, yeah, that's all assuming the basic relations, right? And the person who is chassid is someone who's mamish be'ed, you don't want to.
It's a little bit strange that you're holding the chassid, that you're doing the chassid, that you're not holding the chassid. If you hold it wrong, why are you doing the chassid? That's true.
The tradition holds true. The tradition holds true. I'm sorry. As a mitzvah chassid, so you're being mocked. I want to be mocked for myself, not because you're the whole world. You're crazy.
So you left the kid and that was
so if you're really honest with me, it's all like, I'm sorry for then you could. You never know, stop killing the Yomim, you never really know, maybe it's Pavel Barovim, you don't know exactly. But this is all true, only if you're in a place where there's real government supervision. If there's no, if there's not such government supervision, then there's a very serious problem. So I had this Shiloh one time, he's flying back from there to show. Can I tell the story?
Is there a much way that in France it was more of a question?
Yeah, it's very much in different countries are different. You have to know what's different. So I didn't turn the story around, I flew back from Israel, and the plane almost went down over the Mediterranean. So we're flying back from Israel. It was a wife, myself, and the only Togo was born there. She was like 1 year old. And we took off with the Shabbos, and it was in the middle of the flight. The captain gets on and announces that we just lost an engine. And then, like, Baruch Hashem, we have three others. And he said, you shouldn't feel bad because we could fly this plane with two engines. So we have somebody who makes us, so we have more than we really need. So protocol is that we try not to cross the Atlantic with missing an engine. Sounds like a good idea. So we're going to make an emergency stop in the next closest airport. The closest airport was Rome. So we stopped in Rome, it was like Sunday morning that time, we crossed the fucking morning, we pulled into Rome International Airport. I go try to find a mechanic in Rome. Rome is, you know, people are praying on Sunday mornings in Rome. No, they're not praying in Rome on Sunday mornings, or are they praying? So you couldn't find, there's no mechanic in the entire 8th of the whole year. There's nothing, and no one knows. There was no get that money. So there was no, anyone who would appreciate it won't be insulted by it. Anyway, so, There was no one to fix the plane. So for hours now, I'm just sitting around and leaving. Other plane, fuck, we're sitting in Rome there. So before we get to the Chol Yisrael, I have a little shadow. So, anyone know Ricky? Ricky was his name? The Rooker, right? So he was with me on that flight. There were a bunch of white guys on the flight. And it was at the end of the intercession. A bunch of people got there to Israel.
It was time of Shachris.
So we davened Shachris in the Rome airport. So the Roman police came to, made a circle around us to protect us. Because it looked a little funny. Palace, it's funny, a little Rome, that's the friendliest place in the world. So they managed, they were like standing around us to protect us. So I spoke about this, but every year when I speak my kinnas at different places, so when we get the kinnah about how they had, Titus had the parade through the streets of Rome, the Kalei HaMikdash, so I always tell the story, and I say how, who would have thought 2,000 years later that not only are the Roman soldiers not killing us, the Romans forget, it's the Roman policemen, they're the ones who are protecting the Jews, taking davening, so I see the Hitzvias of Torah, that the Romans thought that they had destroyed us, and now we came back to haunt them, we're still davening in their airports. Anyway, so it's like the lighter part of kinnas.
They have armed guards around the shoulder.
Yeah. So that mamash was it. They mamash made like a circle around us. So we were davening. The greatest part was before we get to Chavos Rov. But the greatest part was that it was us. It was me, Ricky, a couple of you guys, and my brother Chassidim. So that was the whole flock. So we had a minyan. So we come to the Chazaras Hashatz. We finish Chazaras Hashatz. We come to the Tachlin. So one of the Chassidim screams out, "Kaddish, Kaddish, Skalim, Skalim." So what, Roman Sundays, you don't say so we screamed out, "There's no Sefer Torah! Don't say Torah, don't say Tachanun." I think you don't, some do fall, some don't fall, but everyone says Sefer Tachanun. So screaming out. So Ricky says, "No, you're sorry." He takes off his knapsack, he opens up his knapsack, and he pulls out a Sefer Torah. he was carrying back some Sidey shul in New Jersey somewhere had a Sefer Torah written in Eretz Yisrael. It was a small Sefer, and he was the shaliach to bring it back to the point. So he said, "What do you mean? We only have Sefer Torah." The guy was totally floored. So he said, "Tachanun, what? We're supposed to buy him. See, we can't afford to fill the buy him room 315 according to some, but in Rome and international level, the kaka." So that was not the part I want to get to. So we ran out of food. There's no kosher pizza. I'm sure there's no kosher pizza. We ran out of food. So we angled a little bit. You know, see, we're used to, you know, you think in America, you go anywhere in America, you find kosher food. That may be true in America, but not so kosher in Rome. So there was nothing really. I don't know what in Rome do like to. So the problem wasn't so much for my wife and myself. I was Tomer, so it was a little kid, it was a baby, a year old. So she needed milk. Now comes the shower. So can I just go to the store? We had bottles, we had empty bottles, we didn't have any milk left. We were there the whole day, the whole Sunday we were there. So we can I go to the store and buy a container of Italian milk, pour into the bottle and give it a drink? Assuming it's not Pekor Nevesh, everything's milk.
What's the Israel
kid? Is that their bonus? So the Chumash says, this week's parsha, it says, Lo Sochlum. So the Gemara says, Lo Sochlum means Lo Sachimum. That means there's an Isra Yaraisa to feed a katan, something which is straight. And there's an Isra, it's Machal Yisra Gemara. One day the Gemara says, that even if you see a katan doing an Abeira, let's say I walk by and I see a kid eating a cheeseburger, so one day the Gemara says, you have to stop him. That cut it off on the veil is basically the tunnel off your show. And the garage from that possible of Losochla means that Lahazim don't lock Tanim, like we spoke about by the baby walking into the Kohen, walking into the basic garage. Wasn't that this week's shirt? What was that? No, Pashas, were you talking about Pashas Paro? Oh, we didn't give a special shirt. Oh, okay, I gave that T-Net question there, right? Yeah. Right, yeah, I spoke about that move there. That.
That's why we kept saying yesterday.
Yes, they have
something that mentioned. Well,
last week, because they have the best. Okay. I don't know. I lose track. I see I get lost something. Anyway, so the other side of the hotel, I said that show last week. But here I said it 2 weeks ago. So one day, the Gemara Yavama says that the Isser, the Arais, the Lo Sochlo, Mahazi, don't look down on me. Even if I see it happening by itself, I have to stop it. And the other day, I said, no, I'm not allowed to actively cause them to do it, but I'm not looking to see. That's what the Gemara said in the Chapin of Kanina. Let's say like this. Let's say you tell a kid to turn on the light on Shabbos. That's called lachil of yadayim because I'm encouraging him. Lachil of yadayim means either to mamish stick the trach of food into his mouth, or to actively encourage him through the aver. That's also called like levia daim. So the Gemara says to tell the child on the bat mitzvah to mamish don't lie for me. That's also min haTorah. People do it all the time. That's also mamish b'daraisa. But if the child's doing it himself, he's not doing it for me. He's doing it for himself. The kid turns on the TV. He wants to watch the cartoons. Everyone knows the standing board cartoons are the best. So the kid turns on the cartoon himself. So am I mechuyev to stop him? He wants it to turn on again. I see him walking over to the TV. He's about to turn it on. I'm mechuyev to stop him. So that's the mechuyev to the Gemara. So maybe difference with Allah, whether he's my kid or someone else's kid. But it's in that sugya that the Gemara tells the fascinating story. The Gemara says that once they lost the keys to the Beis Medrash, don't get in, and they realize that the keys were left, someone left them in the middle of the street. There was no Erev. So they wanted to tell the kids to go pick up the keys and carry them in. So the question is, you can't do that. That's called the Hakal. You have to tell them actively. So the Gemara says, okay, we won't tell them to pick up the keys. We'll just bring the kids over there, and they'll play near the keys. And a kid will see, hey, keys, hey, these are fun things. You know, all little kids like keys. So he'll start to walk around with it. So we'll hope and pray that he walks in the right direction and we'll grab from him, right, you know, with Dalai Lama at the door. So the Gemara says, Amachlekes, whether you're allowed to do that or not. So one day the Gemara says, that's okay. As long as you don't actively tell him, that's all right. So the Gemara tells a story that when this happened, that they said, the keys were sitting near the street. All the Rabbanim were trying to get into the Beis Medrash. So they said, let's bring the Talia, the Taliasins. Talia is Aramaic word for little boys. Taliasins are Aramaic word for little girls. So let's bring the little boys and little girls over to the street, and they'll pick up the keys, and hopefully they'll get the keys to the right place. That's what says the Gemara. So somebody asked the Santa Rebbe once, said, what's going on? Where is the co-ed kindergarten when you bring the boys and girls? So the Santa Rebbe said, oh, you don't understand. So this is the chat of Gemara. Said, they'll just bring the boys. So the boys will play with each other, they'll fight with each other, and no one will see the keys. They'll bring the girls by themselves, no one will see the keys. They'll bring the boys and the girls together. The boys, they're so from, they want to look at the girls, so they'll look down. Oh, they'll look down, they'll see the keys.
Yeah,
the Kayim HaShanem might ask a silly question and get a silly answer. Anyway, so... So the Gemara is like this. The Gemara said that also meritorious. Give something which is treif to a kid actively. That's for sure also meritorious. But there's machlokes harishonim between the Rambam and the Rashba. What if it's not treif meritorious? What if it's just nisa derabanan? I want to feed a nisa derabanan to a child. But I'm not going to give him mamish nevelah. I'm going to give him a chicken and milk or something together. So what's that look like? Is that look like? So come to Rambam and said that's awesome. Same with this. This is deraisa to feed a dover treif with deraisa to a kid. So with derabanan, you're not allowed to be machlo dover treif with derabanan. But the Rashba disagrees. The Rashba says that it depends. If you're doing it with Sarah Hayis Hagodol, let's say I want this child to carry something for me on Shabbos. I want this book to read on Shabbos, so I'm going to ask the child, please bring this Chumash to Shul because I want to use it. So the Rashba says that's awesome. That ain't how I want to do. Even though it's going to be carried over to you, it's only a Kamos or something. But if I'm asked the Katan to do an Aveira with Sarah HaKatan, that he's going to benefit from it. So the Rashba claims, based on the Gemara, that's okay. That was never included. The Yisrael L'Hakav Yadayim only applies to their rises, not to their abundance, provided that I'm not trying to, make a buck over it. I'm not trying to make life easy for myself. I'm ultimately trying for the benefit of the Kata, so then it's okay. That's what Rabbi Kivenger quotes, that has the following shayla. This is a common shayla. Let's say you realize you don't have the city, you don't have a chumash or something, and you're going to shul with your kid, and you're allowed to give the kid the siddur to carry for you, assuming that there's only this siddur above, it's only a kindness or something. So Kivega says, depends, according to the Rambam, forget it, you're not allowed to hand the chumash to the child to carry, that's rather also. But according to the Rashba, it depends. If you want the chumash for yourself, the siddur for yourself, that's a problem. But if you want the kid to have the chumash and the siddur, so he should be dominating, and you're just going to peek over his shoulder, so then the Rebbe says, maybe that's not according to the Rashba, that should be okay. So the Mishabura says, B'shas HaChagol, you can rely on this Rashba. We try not to rely on the Rashba, Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam, that the Yisrael HaChav Yadayim applies to their Raises and their Rabbanans. B'shas HaChagol, you can rely on the Rashba, because my left foot Sarah HaKata. So now, getting back to the case of the milk. So I want to feed this, quote unquote, treif milk, the chol of akol. I don't have Ramosha's kula, I don't know what the government stands in Italy, or maybe they are, but I said this year once, the government said to me, Rabbi, you don't think in Italy they check the milk? Of course they check the milk. Okay, maybe he's right. So let's assume that the standards aren't as great. I don't know. Let's assume like that. Let's say we'd be in Indonesia, they do not check the milk so much. So what's the din?
Ambassador.
What?
Ambassador.
So what would it then be? So this goes back to the beginning of what we spoke about. When we opened up the shiur with the Shach said that Chol Akol, Hakol Mikol Kol, can never be in the Sidur Aisa. Why? Either because, even though there is a little bit of Chol Akol, it's Bokol Beru. Or rove animals, which are providing milk or cows. Or like the Chazanir says, that most people are not going to pull these stones. So the three different roves, this is a worst case scenario only in the Sidur Rabbanon. So since we're dealing with it only in the Sidur Rabbanon, so the din is that Bishas HaKan Gadol, what's the halacha? Maybe you can rely on the Kivei, you can rely on the Rash, but then Lachachil B'yadayim, this is the Rabbanon, but Tzorecha, it's Tzorecha, it's not Tzorecha me, but Tzorecha, so Mestama, that should be okay. So Mestama, you would be able to buy the quote unquote trade for the milk, which is only trade for the Rabbanon for a variety of reasons. Bishas HaKan to be Machal to the Kadol. Or you can pull for a little bit of another stunt here, like this. Mishnah Berurah has the comment tucked away in Hilchos Sukkah, more places, the Shara Tzir in Hilchos Sukkah. When he talks about a katan, giving a katan something to eat outside of the sukkah. So the Sharetzin writes that lahachir b'yadayim means like this. Either if I tell the kid to open up and I shove the spoon into his mouth, that's called lahachir b'yadayim. Or if I actively encourage the child, let's say, come pick up the keys, please. That would be lahachir b'yadayim. I tell him, please, you know, turn on the lights to be that lahachir b'yadayim. Says the Mishnah Berurah, but what if I take the tray for food and I put it into the katan's hand? I don't stick it into his mouth. So the Mishnah says that's probably also called lahachil b'yadayim. But what if I don't even do that? What if I take a vial of a tray for food, the baby's sitting over here, I put it down, and I walk away? So the Mishnah, that's not lahachil b'yadayim. That's like the keys on the ground. Not after meeting with the keys with the other forehand, and I put it down. That's not called lahachil b'yadayim. So the Mishnah claims that's not a problem at all. Now, you have to be careful about this. It's not called Mahakal Diyanayim, but most of the Rishonim say that even though we pass in the halacha that the only time you're not allowed to feed kids something trafe is only Mahakal Diyanayim, but if the kid takes it on themselves as mutter, the Rishonim write that's only a Gohi Gil Achinuch. The child is already a Gil Achinuch, so then you have to stop them. That's what most of the Rishonim say. And some Rishonim say that the Achinuch only applies to parents, doesn't apply to outsiders. So here, it would depend. Let's say if my daughter would be 10 years old, and I would put a tray for food in front of her, and she would pick it up. So true, that's not called lahakal b'yadayim, but I would still be mechuyev to stop her, al tzchinuch. But here, she's 1 year old. She was 1 year old at the time. So a one-year-old kid is not a year lechinuch. So in terms of the chinuch issue, it's not a problem at all. In terms of lahakal b'yadayim, which applies even to the baby, the pashas, the unborn baby, so lahakal b'yadayim, the mishaburu's make, let's not call lahakal b'yadayim, just put it down on the floor in front of them. So the bottom line is, in this case, if you would take the Nalachal Yisrael milk, fill it into a bottle, put it down, close your arms, and hope and pray that the baby takes it, so the Chalash should be mutter. It should be mutter, because that's not called Lachal Yisrael milk. There's no Chalash issue at all, it's too young. And even if it is called Lachal Yisrael milk, against the Mishnah Berurah, it may still be mutter because it's only in the Siddur Rabbanah based on everything that we said. So that was part of the Lomdus in the Rome Airport. That's what me and Ricky spoke about part of the day. So we didn't have the whole cheshbon. I didn't know the shach and all the lumbus, but I don't know what happened again. I think we found an apple juice to drink or something. I think in the end, the whole thing was irrelevant. But it was nice. That's what you do in Rome. There's nothing else to do. So you sit and say, Shabbat Tarz Bachon Yisrael.
Does it matter if it's a Sora Hasiwa? Like when the basement is left?
The
entire community is trying to get into the shul.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It would be a Nisus Gerais, and the Hachav is also in the turn. That's the famous story of Reb Chaim. It's a famous story of Reb Chaim that one Shabbos, the Erev broke a brisk. So Rav Chaim was the Rav in Brisk, and he was the Echrayis. He went to the, you know, in the older days in Europe, they never had their own oven. There was one Sibur oven, and everyone would bring the Shul on Friday afternoon there. Then they'd come Shabbos morning to put the Shul up. They'd have Shul Katas, see what the Shul was done. That was the original Shul Katas, the brisk. So one Shabbos, Rav Chaim's sitting there and telling all the people that you can't have Shul today, either come and eat in the oven or you can't take Shul out. So a woman came with a little girl to pick up the children. So Rav Chaim gave her the whole same kizmin, all the same speech, you can't pick up your children. So she said, no, that's right, I told my daughter to do it. So Rav Chaim says, you're not allowed to do that. The Chumash says, not allowed. Well, sounds like I'm going to read that, but Hachal Yadayim is also. She said, come on, Rabbi, give me a break, come on, please. So she told the little daughter to go pick up the children and carry it home. So Rav Chaim sent the shamans to go back to the woman's husband to tell him to throw out all the wine in the house, because his wife is a Mechal Shab for Hesio. And the Shulchan Aruch like the Rash, but that trace up all the wine. So that's a famous story about Rav Chaim. So I never, So I never understood that story. It always bothered me, that story. It always bothers me, that story. Is that yes? That's a suburb. Kiveg has a suburb about become Chal Shas, but the Rabbanah become
Dino Ka'at. She's over Chal Shabbos.
Oh, so that's what was bothering me. Why is she called Chal on the Shabbos? She violated the Yisro Mahakom B'Yadayim. Why did they call it after Chal Shabbos? So I never understood the story exactly. Until I saw a tshuva from Chaim Leizer. Chaim Leizer has a tshuva we discussed, the age old child that the post can discuss. There's a din of Mahakom B'Yadayim called Tarkula by Treifus, by Tumas Kohenim. Why does the Chumash say, L'Sasuk Ablach Ato Bincha B'Techa? Who's the Bincha B'Techa? It's not the goal of Bar Mitzvah, that's Ato. So the Bincha B'Techa is under Bar Mitzvah. So what does it mean? So it doesn't mean that you have to stop the kids from not doing Malachim, because we pass in that. Ain't days in the Tzimul HaPrishon. So what does it mean? So the Gemara Yavam is saying, you know what it means? It means you're not allowed to tell the kids to turn on a lunch for you. You're not allowed to tell the kids to carry something for you. So come to all the posts for this. So what do you need to post again on the Seres HaDibris? What? The cash on the Seres HaDibris. We know it already. It's the Gemara Yavamas. What do you need a Seres HaDibris? The Gemara Yavamas. The Gemara already tells us. We learn that from other people. Lo Sochol, Lo Sochilom, which serve as the Mach of a Kol Tar Kul is in this one Lahakol B'Yadayim. So Ma Ishtana, there's a posse by Seres HaDibris. So everyone has discussed that Shaila. So Reb Chaim Oizer, the end of this Tshuva quotes, that Shamati Oimer B'Shein, Reb Chaim Biv Alojah, he doesn't mean Reb Chaim Alojah, it means Reb Chaim, who was the Rosh Hashiva. He says, Shemati, that Reb Chaim Brisker, our Reb Chaim, said that the answer to this question is like this, that the reason why the Torah has to give you a special pasuk by Seres HaDibris is to tell me that this is not the din chloli of L'hachav Yadayim, it's the Issachol Shabbos, that you become labeled as a Mechal Shabbos, that there is a prophet in Chol Shabbos, that's the bar. So when I saw that, then I understood the story. That was Reb Chaim's story of L'shitasai. That, I don't know if this is printed in the name of Reb Chaim. This, the only place I ever saw this printed was in that Tshuva Zachiezer. So he says that Reb Chaim's Lashem Tosa who helped with the wine is trade. He helped, not like Reb Chaim Jisoy. So that's not cool. She's not like Jonathan says. She's not the Mechalel Shabbos. She's in Aveir, okay? She's in Aveir. She doesn't trade before. Anyway, that's right. Yeah.
Does it make a difference that you put the milk in the baby's own bottle that it recognizes? If you put the milk in, if it recognizes it in the bottle, that's it.
I don't know, babies, I don't know if they're selling to their own bottles, other people's bottles, I don't know, I'm not sure. So that's what the bottom line is, it was mutter to put the milk in, but we found somebody else to drink instead. So anyway, so in case anyone gets stuck ever in Rome on a Sunday morning, so you can say Tachanim with the Chassidim, you can talk about Chavis Rome. Well, can you imagine that I would have told the Chassidim that this called the Shrokul? Well, they would not have done that. Okay, good. Let's stop.